Our final case of the morning is United States against Goki.
I'm with the Federal Public Defender's Office for the Central District of Illinois, and I appear for Charles Goki today, the appellant. Mr. Goki appeals his sentence. Both parties agree that there was error and questions whether that error was harmless. The government has the burden to establish that the error was harmless, and it's harmless only if the error did not affect the district court's choice of a sentence. In this case, I don't believe the government can meet that burden.
I'm a little puzzled. In what sense was there error? This was a post-Booker decision.
It was a post-this court Booker decision prior to the Supreme Court's opinion in Booker.
So what was the error? The district judge, it might have been error if the district judge had just said, I'm going to throw guidelines away. But in fact, the district judge computed an alternative guideline sentence and then explained why his post-Bookerish sentence was higher, and that's the same methodology that we are requiring in the world after Booker. So, it might be technical error to have done this as two separate sentences rather than one unified thing, but it seems that the district judge did the things that we now require in the post-Supreme Court Booker world.
Your Honor, I'd say that it's close. And I believe that this court's comment that the district court performed two separate sentencings is correct, and I think that therein lies the real problem in this case. In fact, the district court actually imposed...
That's why I'm puzzled about why they would say that was error. That's what our Booker opinion said. The district judge ought to do something like that just to make sure that one or the other would be okay after the Supreme Court was done, and here we are.
Well, I believe the district court did follow this court's Booker opinion, but I don't believe that it followed the Supreme Court's Booker opinion, and it's not surprising. I mean, I was surprised by the Supreme Court's opinion, combining them, sort of. And what the Supreme Court says in Booker is that you calculate the guideline range, and then you determine the sentence based on the 3553 factors. Well, in this case, it was very close what the district court did, but the district court did not do that. Instead, the district court sentenced...
By the way, did anybody ask the district judge to do that in those terms?
Yes, Your Honor, the government did.
But not the defendant?
In fact, well, I believe the government noted that Booker and Blakely were out there. I believe that it was clear to everybody involved, but the government...
What was the defendant's request at the time?
I believe the defendant requested that the... I don't know, Your Honor. I believe that the defendant requested that the district court sentence him with a sentencing trial. And I believe that's what he recommended. The government, however, argued that the district court only had to pretend like the guidelines didn't exist, pretend like it was 1988. That's on page 6 and 7 in the sentencing transcript. And I believe that's what the district court did. In imposing that first sentence, the district court simply, without looking at the guidelines, said, I believe that this person deserves a sentence of 235 months, and that's what my sentence is going to be. However, since the Seventh Circuit has told me that I need to do an alternative calculation, if the guidelines are found to be constitutional, I find the guideline range to be 168 to 210, and I would sentence Mr. Goki to 210 months. Well, as this court's well aware, there was a hybrid. The Supreme Court came up with a hybrid. It wasn't either or. It was first you got calculate the guidelines, then you determine sentence. And to some extent, you should probably mention why you're going above the guideline sentence if you're going above it. That would allow this court to review it.
Well, Judge Chavez here did articulate why it was he came up with the guidelines alternative. It's just that he did it after he arrived at his discretionary sentence. And is it your argument that he did it backwards?
Well, as a technical matter, he did do it backwards. But When the district court,
I think properly, I can't say as a legal rule that you have to say A before B as long as you say both A and B.
No, I'm not arguing that. But I am arguing that if you're going to do it in reverse, you should make some comment about why you're sentencing them differently than the guidelines. And I think this court's opinions since the Booker decision in the Supreme Court have upheld that. Instead, what the district court said, and I'm quoting from page 9 of my brief, but it's the sentencing 51-52. The court determined the guideline range, looking at the guideline range for a 32 with a criminal history category of 4, that would be 210 months. And the court is more interested in sentencing both of the guidelines and without the guidelines that same sentence. The court does believe that it will not be followed in this circumstance because of those guidelines which the courts have determined to be appropriate, and does find the alternative that the sentence would then be under the guidelines 210 months. Now, I would have had a harder time, I believe, with this argument if the district court had said, well, the guideline range is 210 months, but I think that Mr. Gokey's criminal history, which is only 5 points, is underrepresented. I think maybe it's not an upward departure basis, but I'm going upward. If the district court had said something along those lines, my argument would have been really strong.
The district court did talk about the defendant's prior record, though, and how aggravated the judge thought it was earlier in the sentencing hearing at the time that he was arriving at his discretionary sentence. Doesn't that count?
I think if the district court had said something along the lines of that would not have come up with a departure, I think it would be appropriate for the 235 months of the guidelines.
We don't speak in terms of upward departures or downward departures anymore.
But when you turn to the guideline sentence, it's still appropriate, I think.
No, there are no more departures anymore. That's one of the things that Booker abolished. There are guidelines, they're the benchmarks, and then there are sentences. Just anachronistic, even to think about departures.
Well, I consider me a relic. But as far as departures are concerned, maybe the departure word is not the appropriate word. A variance is, I guess, the other word.
It's not a variance.
It's a sentence that's different from the guideline range.
Wouldn't you look at this from a reasonableness analysis?
Well, I mean, the reasonableness analysis, my analysis is similar. The district court did articulate a reason for a 235-month sentence if the guidelines had never existed, but he did not articulate it in terms of why it was a little different than the guidelines range.
Does this require a 35-53 reason why you depart? I don't know the answer to these questions, right? But it seems that, I guess what you're arguing is that because of the Supreme Court's opinion that it did refer to the 35-53 factors, some of which the court may have mentioned, but is it, some would say the farther away you get from what were the original guidelines for us to review reasonableness analysis, the court has to recite them in that context, and I'm not sure where that goes.
Should give an explanation as well about my evaluation of this court's opinions. And there was no explanation in this case. The guideline range, of course, was lower than the actual sentence that was imposed. And in fact, given the weight that this court has, in later opinions, given to the guidelines sentence, it really is up for grabs what the district court would sentence Mr. Gokey to after the Supreme Court opinion in Booker. And for that reason, I don't believe the government has met its harmless error burden in this case. And if there are no more questions, I'd like to reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal.
Certainly, Mr. McDowell. Mr. Vaudrey.
Good morning, Your Honors. I'm John Vaudrey. I'm an assistant U.S. attorney up in Madison, and I represent the United States today and represented the United States below. First, Judge Easterbrook, getting to your question about what were the recommendations, at pages 42 and 43 of the transcript, Mr. Wright, who represented Mr. Gokey, the district court, essentially said, and this is a quote, the court asked the court acting within its discretion using the guidelines as a guide to sentence the defendant, and then he didn't make a recommendation. He wanted him at level 27 in criminal history 4. 27 would be without the juvenile enhancement, without the leader-organizer enhancement, and at this a different amount of drug amount. So he actually asked for a, it seems, I didn't really quite understand it, as a guideline sentence. I asked for an indeterminate sentence of the max 20 years, and then my inimitable fashion on my way through the guidelines for too many pages and said to Judge Shabazz, wherever you come up with the guidelines, I want them at the top of the guidelines if you're, when you do the alternative sentence. So I apologize for that. But today, as I phrase it in the brief, and I guess the only way I can really get my arms around this, is that if there is an error, it is a technical error in this sense, and what this court has said. Judge Shabazz imposed a discretionary sentence 5 days before Supreme Court Booker, specifically following this court's Booker, and what he did was he didn't state he was using the guidelines as advisory. In many other cases, some of which I've been briefing and we've been arguing, the judge has said, using the guidelines as advisory, this is what I'm doing. Certainly post-Booker, that's what they've been saying. If there's error, that's the error, that he didn't say I'm using an advisory. It is our position that it's harmless, because he clearly did just that. Now, it might have been out of sequence. Perhaps in a perfect world,
normally we think of errors as mistakes in what the district judges do, not as failure to anticipate the correct verbal formula. You know, that's under our, we say, we review judgments, not opinions. It's hard to see an error in the basic methodology or the judgment.
I would agree entirely. I don't think there's any error in his methodology unless one talks about putting A before B, or as you referred to it. It is clear here that Judge Shabazz did, again, in advance by a few months of what this court said to do in Dean, which was, look at, calculate the guidelines and then essentially tell us what the sentence is going to be and tell us if that sentence is not within the guidelines, why it isn't. And that's really exactly what he did.
Actually, that's what we said in George. If it's within the guideline range, it's presumptively reasonable.
And in the meantime, on around the same day, I think, said the same thing. And that's really what he did here, exactly what he did. There were a lot of challenges to this PSR, role in the offense, and use of the juveniles. We had, for us, a relatively lengthy sentencing hearing. Mr. Gokey testified. He called the juveniles, who said they weren't shorties and they weren't working for him in the gang and so on and so forth. And then Judge Shabazz determined the guideline range. Now, he did, in his ultimate findings, determine that guideline range after he'd already said why he wanted to do 235 months. But as they say, it certainly strikes me that that should not be the error, that he calculated the guidelines, because he spent all the time going through a guideline hearing. And then he chose his sentence, and he made it very clear why he thought 235 months was appropriate. He specifically referred to 3553. As Judge Sykes mentioned, he talked about Mr. Gokey's criminal history since he was 14, burglary, attempted homicide, endangering. He talked about him being with the Latin Kings since he was 15 up in the Lacuna area. Talked about his criminal history, being part of the gang. Talked about him being a recidivism candidate. Really articulated in detail why he believed this was the appropriate sentence. And then he went so far as to say, and this sentence of 235 months achieves those goals of 3553, punishment, rehabilitation, and so on. It seems that in reviewing all
he performed some good deed in his life that got him 5 months off, only 5 months to go to the statutory cap.
I actually asked for 240 months, and it's entirely possible that Judge Shabazz just didn't want to look like he agreed with anything I was saying, but if he was here, I'd say the same thing. So I don't feel badly about that.
But Finnett did plead guilty, didn't he?
He did plead guilty.
That's his good deed.
It is...
5 months off, starting in year 19.
It was a very long sentence, but Judge Shabazz explained why, very clearly, why he was not going to sentence within that guideline range. It was his discretionary sentence. What we don't know yet really is what... I know the sentence is reviewed for reasonableness. It's a deferential review. Rickett tells us that. Is it an abuse of discretion? I don't know what words the court wants to attach to that, but clearly here, applying that deferential review to this sentence, certainly seems to me and to the United States that that's a reasonable sentence with a thorough explanation for his conclusion. And I think that is that's really the gist of the issue here. Was there that thorough explanation? Did he explain why his sentence was not within the guidelines? And Judge Shabazz did that at length. If there's any questions, I'd love to address them.
Just one assumption and observation, just because we are getting lots of these things coming up in the process, just before Booker, just after, in between, all that sort of thing, 3553, and I guess from my own information, you mentioned that we review this for reasonableness, and I guess we apply the 3553 factors that and did he properly consider them, and given all of that, is this reasonable under the circumstances? Does it matter how far up it goes from the guidelines? Do you have to have more detail in the reasons the farther away you get from what the guideline range was?
Is it in D or McIntyre?
Not in D.
No. So the court said that the whichever way it goes, lower or higher, outside of the range, that the specific maybe not the the need, there is no need for better explanation. I guess I'm not wording it nearly as well as the court did, but if this was a 6 to 12 month sentencing range and the judge gave somebody 10 years and 120 months, my reading of those decisions is that there would need to be detailed, perhaps a more detailed explanation for a 15 month sentence or a 20 month sentence. I think in this area, 25 months is not a small movement. Far be it for me to say that 2 extra years in prison is a short time, because it's not. But Judge Shabazz did give a thorough explanation. He didn't blithely say, I'm just considering 3553 and I'm going to 235. He really went through, as I said, and I won't repeat, not just mentioning his criminal history, but talking about the age and the types of the crimes and his recidivism problem. So I do think the cases seem to indicate to me that as you go further from the guideline, whether lower or higher, you would need to have your explanations, a more full explanation, but I think the judge did that here. Thank you.
Thank you. Anything further, Mr. McCallum?
Nothing further.
Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you very much. And the case is taken under advisement. The board will be in recess until tomorrow.
Dinosaur, I'm like, or something. It's always good.